Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for Monday, May 13th, 2019, looking at the second portion of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 really summarizes in a very compressed way the second half of Paul's third missionary journey. He had stayed at Ephesus for 2 years. There was the rioting when his preaching had begun to really cut into the profits of the local silversmith and their idol industry. That's I-D-O-L, making little figurines of Artemis of Ephesus. And there was a riot, and sometime during those 2 years, Paul sent the letter of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians over to Corinth. He possibly also made a brief trip during that same time, and it's also possible that he had sent even one or even two other letters to Corinthians at the same time, which are not in existence today, which we don't have, and obviously we don't need them, because if we did, God would have seen fit to make sure that they're preserved for us. So then after he leaves Ephesus, he travels all the way around and visits the churches along the Appian Way, and then he scoots on all the way through Macedonia and upper northern Greece there, and then he scoots down to, maybe stops off at Athens, but goes down to Corinth as well for another visit. And most of that is compressed in just verse 1. And verses 1, 2, and 3 of Acts chapter 20. And then he travels up back through Greece and through Macedonia, probably visiting those churches again and taking the collection of this offering that had been collected for the believers at Jerusalem, who are going to be going through a time of famine. And we hear about that more in depth in 1 Corinthians and especially in 2 Corinthians. So then there was the meetup at Troas, up there at the Straits of Bosporus, you know, Constantinople, Istanbul, kind of that area right up there. Eutyches fell out of the window and died. Paul picked him up, raised him from the dead, and everybody came back inside. And then Luke records for us, beginning in verse 13, the very detailed account of their travels by sea. I've made that comment time and a couple of times before, that Luke, as a Greek man, really, his heart really thrills to talk about travel by sea, but not so much about travel by land. So there is a little bit of a bias toward more detail when it comes to traveling by sea, even if it is just the day-by-day travels, as opposed to travel by land. For heaven's sake, we covered the entire height or breadth of the land of Greece and Macedonia in about 3 verses, and he devotes 6 verses almost to just traveling along the coast of modern-day Turkey. Picking it up in verse 13, note that this is another we section. Luke probably joined up again from Philippi, because that's where he had left off previously. Verse 13, we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had arranged it this way, since he was intending to travel there by land. When he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. From there we set sail. We arrived off Chios the next day. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day we came to Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in the province of Asia. He was in a hurry, if possible, to arrive in Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, I served the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that came to me due to the plot of the Jews. You know how I did not hesitate to proclaim to you anything that would be beneficial for you, or to teach you publicly and from house to house. I have solemnly testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, now I am going to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit keeps warning me in town after town that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. However, I consider my life as of no great value to me, so that I may finish my race and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Now take note of this too. I know that none of you among whom I went around preaching the kingdom of God will ever see my face again. Therefore, I solemnly declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not hesitate to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. Always keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves who will not spare the flock will come in among you. Even from your own group, men will rise up, twisting the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, always be on the alert. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which has power to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I did not covet anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who are with me. In every way I gave you an example, that by working hard like this, we need to help the weak and to remember the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." After Paul said these things, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept very much as they threw their arms around Paul's neck and kissed him. They were most distressed over the statement he made that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of our God. So Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem, and he has been told numerous times by the Holy Spirit that chains and great hardship and great affliction await him, or are waiting for him. And that's going to happen when he lands back in Jerusalem. The Jews are going to oppose him, and he's going to eventually appeal to Caesar. He's going to be in prison in Caesarea Philippi, there north of Palestine, kind of on the coast. And then his fourth missionary journey is going to be the one that we hear later in the book of Acts, in about 4 or 5 chapters from here, is when he is finally taken to Rome. He is shipwrecked, and then he arrives at home at Rome, and the book of Acts concludes with him being on house arrest in Rome. And so Paul kind of makes this presumption that from the best of his knowledge, from the best of his insight, he figures that he's never going to make it back to Ephesus again. And so what does he say? What would you say if you were leaving a dearly loved congregation, people that you had worked with and served with for 3 years, people that you had wept with and rejoiced with and shared God's word with and communed with, grown together with? Paul says this: I consider my life of no great value, so that I may finish my race and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Time and again, Paul says, you know, it's not about me. It's not about my preferences, my wishes, my wants, my career. It's about Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would have that same attitude. That's not about me, my preferences, my wishes, my career, my attitude. It's about Jesus Christ, that in every way, Christ may be glorified. Even in the words of John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. And so he says, you know, in verses 26 and 27, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not hesitate to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. When we finally get to 2 Timothy, Paul is going to talk about his previous way of life as a persecutor, you know, about 30 years after the fact. 2 Timothy being the last letter that he wrote. And he's going to really talk about, even earlier in Acts, how Paul had breathed out murderous threats against the Christians for being heretical Jews. But here he says, I'm innocent of the blood of all of you. Even though earlier in this very book, Paul had stood there giving approval at the stoning of Stephen. But his innocence is before Jesus, that he is innocent of the blood of all the Ephesians, because he declared to them all that God had said. Paul didn't turn a blind eye to sin. He didn't just smile and nod and say, well, that's the way things are now. Paul Paul did not hesitate. Paul was very forward in teaching, because his preaching wasn't just, you're a sinner, you're forgiven. His preaching had depth and teaching, and that's really a major point of the Christian ministry together, to convey Christian truth and apply that Christian truth to the lives of people. And so he says, verse 28, always keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The pastor, the elders, the council especially, pastors in our ministry, keeping watch over the church of God and watching over themselves first, lest they be led astray by temptation or led into laziness and laxity or intimidated into silence. Keeping watch, because Paul says, keep your eyes focused on the proper thing. Don't be focused on the dangers that surround you as though you ought to be intimidated by them. But remember, God has placed these people here, his church. God has placed the members that you sit with in the pews here as people who have been purchased by the blood of God himself. That beautiful truth. Shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, that God, eternal God, shed his blood for you and for me. And so, dear Christian, as you go about your day, just think on that for a little bit. That God has purchased you with his own blood. That God, who is eternally spirit, he took on flesh for you and for me. And he made you his own. And he has brought you into this flock and committed into our hands the message of Jesus Christ, that many more may be brought to salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, don't be intimidated. Feel free to speak up. There's a friend that recently said, you know, Pastor, after the recent passing of a friend, I was just telling everybody. I was telling everybody about Jesus. I didn't care, because life is short, but eternity is forever. So as you go about your day, think of someone that you can invite, whether to our Wednesday evening service starting on May 29th, or to a small group that will be meeting at your house this summer. More details about that in the bulletin in a Sunday or two. But as you go about your day, pray for those people and pray for opportunities that we may demonstrate the same sort of devotion to our Lord and fearlessness about those around us, but rather focused on their salvation. You can find us Sunday mornings at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. Also check us out on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.